Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Mattsson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine.
So, Richard White from LVP Renewables. Hello. Let's talk about your product specifically. You have, it's a hybrid sort of solar panel heat pump. Can you tell us what it is? Sure. And how it compares to other products?
Sure, yeah. So what we have is, it's called a thermodynamic solar panel, which essentially combines a solar evaporator with a small heat pump. So we came across this product in 2007, I suppose, at a trade show in France, and we brought it back to Ireland. And it's really a solar panel that works very well in the Irish climate. It uses refrigerant gas that goes through the panel, an R134A gas, has a vaporization point of minus 26.3 degrees Celsius. So in most Irish weather, you'd understand it can vaporize, which then compresses at cylinder level to create heat, which goes through your coil and heats your hot water. So the main boasts of the system is that we can offer a family of six people 100% of their hot water every single day of the year at a very minimal running cost, assuming weather stays above roughly minus 5 degrees Celsius, and just one small panel is required to go on the roof.
And does it need to be hooked up to your boiler? Usually for hot water, for your hot water tank, you'd hook that up to your boiler as a backup.
Yeah, I mean, all systems come with a backup. We do a number of different solutions, one where we provide a water cylinder with our system, and one where somebody might already have a suitable water cylinder already plumbed in. When we provide our own cylinder, each of the systems come with a 1-inch gravity-fed backup coil, which you can hook into your oil boiler or back boiler, if that be the case. Our experience has been that it's not really necessary. It's there as an emergency backup, and all systems do have a very small 1.5 kilowatt immersion as a backup option as well. So you're well covered in any solution.
And what temperature does it operate? Is it low temperature then, or what's the optimal? Because with a heat pump, for instance, you're better off working at lower temperatures than higher temperatures.
Yeah. So I mean, with any heat pump technology, which essentially our technology is like a heat pump as well, the efficiency of them is measured by what's called a COP, a coefficient of performance. So for every unit of electricity you put in, you get X amount in return. 4 tends to be the number bandied around the industry. You know, that's the average COP. But I suppose that is taking into consideration heating water from 30 to 35 degrees Celsius and average ambient air temperatures of 7 degrees Celsius outside. We obviously need to heat water for domestic use to a higher temperature, generally speaking 55 degrees Celsius. The reports that we have, the EN16147 certificates suggest that we have COPs of in the region of 3.68, 3.7, which is very good for heating water to 55 degrees Celsius. That doesn't take into consideration the solar element of our technology, because you can only test it as a heat pump for a COP. We have done remote studies ourselves with pulse meters and flow meters to take a real life scenario into consideration, and we've just finished a full year's of results where we've seen a COP of just over 4 for heating water up to 55 degrees Celsius, excuse me. So the results are pretty exceptional in terms of what it can offer.
Mm. So would you need your water to be that hot in your tank? Some heat pump suppliers would argue that you're better off having lower temperature, maybe 45, and have it run more efficiently again, and then just have the Legionella kind of top up every week or something.
Yeah, so it's a double pronged approach, really, isn't it? I mean, because it's what you need and what you have to do as well. So Legionnaires is obviously something that has to be looked at. And when we're heating water to 55 degrees Celsius, it may seem nonsensical because you're neither here nor there. You're too hot for a shower, you're too cold for Legionnaires. So you're not going to kill bacteria in 55 degrees Celsius, but you're not going to nurture its growth either. So 38 to 40 degrees is prime sort of temperatures to grow bacteria. And if you look at a standard shower, if you go and stay in a hotel and you look at a shower in a hotel, when you get to 38 degrees, there's normally the big red button you've got to press to make the temperature warmer, because you've obviously risk a scald above 38 degrees Celsius. When we heat our cylinder to 55, we've proven, obviously, with our COP of over 4 that we can make it very efficient because of our solar aspect with it. And it's also about having the capacity. So if we have a 300-litre cylinder at 55 degrees, what that actually lends itself to is 387 litres at shareable temperature. So you've got that extra bulk. And then we do have a Legionnaires facility built into the system that can prompt the system to go on once a week, once a month, or whatever the case may be, to heat it up to 60 degrees. So, yeah, there's the two sides that you kind of need to be aware of.
And what's Legionnaires then, for people who don't know what it is and the dangers?
I'm not sure how many people in the history of the nation have died from Legionnaires.
There was a case there. It was through an air conditioning system, I think, oddly. I don't think it was even from a heat pump. A couple of years ago, in an office block in Elm Park, I think, or something in Dublin somewhere. And the staff got sick from Legionnaires.
So that probably...
It does happen.
Yeah, no, of course. But I suppose that there's a number of things. Water kind of needs to be lying stagnant for it to happen. So for a period of time. And also, as you say, if you're harbouring this whole sort of heating water to just 40 degrees and then trying to kick something in, if that automated process ever goes, you know, you're stuck with water that's at a dangerous level. So it's just a bacteria that can grow in the water that is obviously dangerous for human consumption. And so it's a regulation that we avoid it. So that's it, really.
Yeah. And then does heating hot water and... So does heating in hot water or just hot water? Can you do heating with it? That
was the question. We can, and we've done it in many applications, but the one panel technology is for heating hot water. If we're to heat a house with it, we need a minimum sort of 6 panels, sometimes 12 panels. And it's a great system, but we need to apply practicality to all of this. And if I said to any member of the general public, we can give you heating, but we're putting 12 panels on your roof, I know what they'd tell me. Secondary to that, our system is, in essence, a heat pump with solar evaporators. Let's call a spade here. And I like to break stuff down into the minutiae of the numbers and the savings and the return on investment. And we do air-to-water heat pumps as well. And when I look at what we would sell an air-to-water heat pump for, and then I take what we would sell a full solar central heating system for, there may be a 5 grand difference in the capital outlay, with maybe only a 250 or 300 euro improvement in running cost. And when you break that 300 or 250 euros into 5,000 euros, that's a 20-year payback, right? So that small area, and then you've got 12 panels on your roof. So
yeah,
anything can be done. It's just about trying to take practicality and budget. Most people building a house are working off a budget on them, unless they're incredibly fortunate. So most people are trying to bring everything in on budget. So we just need to make sure that we have something that... that is going to be practical and useful for them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the air source heat pumps, then you do that too?
We do.
And the monoblock versus split, what's your view on that? What's better?
Well, look, I mean, I suppose my experience to date has just been on monoblock heat pumps. The good thing about the monoblock heat pump is obviously it's located outside, so your noise is outside. From an installation capacity, it's an easier installation. Different manufacturers will obviously offer different efficiencies on them. So I'm probably not in the best position to offer a strong opinion on them because we only do one type, and it's probably not fair for me to sort of
say how great monoblock is.
Yeah. Don't go near the others.
And then, so you mentioned cost. So how does it compare to, let's say, solar thermal panels, which would be kind of the ones you can get a grant for?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose it's now a question, are we talking about new builds or retrofits? Obviously, if it's a new build, there's no grants for anything. So you're at a level playing field. Our most popular system would be a sort of 250 or 300 year system. The cost for those in today's market now is anywhere between sort of 5,500 and 6,500 euros fitted, installed, including VAT and plumbing and all the rest. In contrast to conventional solar, I mean, you go out there in the open market, everyone has to go out and try and get a few prices, and you've got to see what the price is, what the value is, the company you're investing in, what they offer, their experience, their history, their reputation. But if you go out there, funnily enough, with conventional solar tubes or flat plates, you can spend anywhere between €3,000 and €10,000. And look, if you're looking at just a hot water application and somebody's trying to charge you €10,000 for solar hot water, run for the hills, because you're most likely getting ripped off, unless there's something completely extreme about the project that I don't know about, or that is a little bit different to anything else. But in the same manner, if somebody's charging you €3,000 for solar, run for the hills. You're getting ripped off for very different reasons, because you're probably buying something with very low quality, quality of installation, everything. And let's be honest here, spending €3,000 is a hell of a lot of money to spend on something that's not going to work for you. So it's about trying to get that middle ground. I will always say, we're not the most expensive out there, but we're not the cheapest either. But cheap is as cheap does, you know.
And so solar thermal also has, it's only hot water for kind of 2/3 of the year, roughly, isn't it? So you'd, it's
yeah,
a bit of a different.
Yeah, I mean, as I might have mentioned, we fit the first thermodynamic solar system in Ireland 11 years ago, actually this month, and we've over 3,500 of them fitted around the country. So my family home, Kildare, we had the first thermodynamic system installed, and still Christmas time, big family going home, everyone has showers and whatnot. 5 years ago, I bought a house, and I bought from a builder. It was a new build house, but it was freshly built, and there's flat plate solar panels in it. So I very much come from a knowledge point of understanding the different technologies. And as somebody who's married with two very young kids, life is busy. It's not always practical to wait for hot water to heat up. And without trying to lambast technologies that aren't ours, my observations would be with standard solar is that we get loads of hot water when we don't really want it. And we get no hot water when we really need it. And so the reality is, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and we pick them, we work all day, we drop them to creche, work all day, we come home, pick them up from creche, and then it's bath times and things like that. I'm not going to wait until I get home at 6:30 to know if I've hot water or not, and then wait 2 hours to the boiler, because kids are going to be awake half the night. So what I'm trying to say here is, life is busy, and if you can't trust your system to save from your system, you're never going to save from it. So you need to have something that's going to manage you, not you having to manage a system. So that's, with the thermodynamic system, it just works. Every single day of the year, you know it's going to be there when you get home. So for me, that's the main difference.
And so then the running costs, how do they work out? You said you did a year-long study.
Yeah, so we did a year-long study, and we took heat loss into consideration. We took pipes into consideration. So we had to do a lot of sort of studies in our warehouse to get the heat loss right and to get everything set up. That particular house had running costs of €117 for the year. Now, they're a family of five, but truth be told, I think two of the kids are in college for most of the year, so there's only really three of them living in the house. But we've seen from our installations, we would sort of talk to people and say, about 50 euros per person per year. It's probably a realistic area. Some people's costs will be better, some people's costs will be higher. And you can't just pull figures out of your head. They have to come from somewhere. So when we're trying to give people an estimation on running costs, we use the word cuts to describe it. C-U-T-S. So C is for consumption. We go by SAI's recommended average. They said there's 40 litres of water at 55 degrees per person per day. U is for unit price of electricity. We assume a rate of 18 cents. T is for time of day. Our system will work 24/7, but naturally, if it's recovering in solar gain territory, a warm summer's day, it'll be, I suppose, a more efficient recovery than if it was during the middle of the night. So if you use all your water at night and don't have your system on a time, you might find your running costs are higher, and vice versa, if you use in the morning, you find them that they're lower. And then S is for seasonal performance. We go by Metairn statistics of average ambient air temperature of 9 degrees Celsius and 4.3 hours of solar gain. So if you take all of those figures and put them together, that's your bog average. That's your 50 euros per person per year. That's where we come.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And how about maintenance of the system? What do you have to do? Do you have to clean the panels? Do you have to get checks done on the tanks?
No, because the panels are essentially have refrigerant going through them, you will get a certain amount of condensation on them in cold or hot weather when they're working hard, which means they essentially self-clean. In terms of maintenance, every integrated cylinder we sell has a thing called a magnesium anode. That's a sacrificial rod of magnesium that's in the inside of the cylinder to accumulate any harmful bacteria that over time could start to corrode the stainless steel in the tank. And so we recommend that an end user checks that once every 6 months, once every year. You know, that will vary a lot depending on whether they're in a private water scheme, like a private well, or whether they're in a public water scheme. You know, it will depend. But the reality is there are checks the customers can really undertake themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's not a massive amount of maintenance. But I suppose after 11 years, we don't yet have a maintenance division. But we have started in recent times. We're sort of starting to recommend people, and they have it in 5, 6, 7 years. It's not going to hurt to have it checked and given a once-over to make sure everything's working as it should.
And how about the water that's going in? Can it be hard water, or it needs to be soft water?
No, it can be anything. But I mean, like with all these things, everything comes at a cost, really. I mean, if you save a lot of lime in your water, or if you have a, you know, depending on the water quality, all warranties will insist that the water quality is within a certain parameter. Which is why the anode is there, to try and protect it. If you have a very acidic water in there, it's going to eat the magnesium. You'll understand is a softer metal than stainless steel, so it's going to corrode that before it corrodes the inside of the cylinder. So that's really the real, like, it can work with any type of water, you know. It's not going to stop it. It's just about how efficient it's going to be and how much ongoing maintenance you want to be certain of, you know.
And installation, what's the process then? How does that work?
So
what does the self-builder have to watch out for there?
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's a self-build, I mean, generally speaking, it's the project's getting, we engage in the project at different times. Some people are very organized, and before a shovel goes in the ground, you know, we've everything set up. Sometimes it's roof is on and we're sort of running in to try and get stuff done. So once the roof is on and slated, we'd like to get the panel on the roof, and we run the pipes down. A large
Do you have to get a pipe up to the roof for you?
We do.
Guys,
so there's two very small refrigerant pipes, a 1/4 inch and 3/8 inch pipe, which are pre-insulated and combined together. And they go through the roof by, we normally remove one slate and we put in a soda vent slate to run the pipes in underneath. That then runs down to where the cylinder is going to be. If the cylinder is going to be located upstairs, then it's fairly straightforward. If the cylinder is going downstairs through an upstairs, it's about getting the route. So if the cylinder is going downstairs, it's very important that we're on site very early to be able to run the pipes down so that we're not coming into a lovely finished house and having to rip pipes or walls apart. And
yeah.
Not that we normally have to do that, but better,
could,
you know,
happen.
Yeah, yeah. Be prepared, I suppose.
Yeah. So the warranties then, generally it'd be just as standard, I suppose, sort of heating hot water products around 2 to 5 years.
It's sort of a 2-year no quibble labour warranty on all the fittings and parts and all that sort of stuff. 5 years on the cylinder, 10 years on the panel. You know, in terms of cylinder warranties, it's really just prevention's better than cure. It's just making sure that, you know, you have everything set up right from the start. I mean, we use certain cylinders in certain applications where the cylinder warranty can be up to 20 years. But with a 20-year warranty cylinder, 20-year warranted cylinder, you have to have checks done every single year. So take everything with a pinch of salt. Really what's more important for the end user to be aware of is who they're dealing with. Because warranties are the most intangible thing that you can offer somebody. You have people offering lifetime warranties that are in business about 3 months, and where's that going to get you if they're out of business? So, you know, take it all with a pinch of salt.
Yeah. And next generation stuff, is the product improving, or are you looking at other products?
We're always looking at other products. It's just trying to find products that work. We do a lot of solar PV at the moment, which is electricity generation. It's proven quite popular, more in the retrofit scenario now, because those grants have been announced for it and it's become economically viable. One great thing about our thermodynamic system is that it has what's called a dry line signal integration with it. So one of the common problems with solar PV at the moment is that unless you utilise every watt of power when it's generated, it goes back to the grid and you get nothing for it. So with our thermodynamic system, that dry line signal means that if that power is going to waste, the solar system will put its hand in the air, say, I'll take that, increases the set point to the water, and we take it into the cylinder instead. So it's probably trying to future-proof technologies as opposed to reinventing the wheel here. It's just trying to see that if we're trying to make our home smart and future-proof everything, what can we do to sort of integrate everything? So that's one big thing we're doing at the moment. And we actually do that quite a bit on new builds. And people look for that hybrid scenario with the thermo and the PV. And the great thing about that is we install more than enough PV panels to offset the running cost of the compressor. So you essentially have free hot water for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. But the PV panels cost a bit of money.
Though, of course they cost. Everything costs. It's just about...
So pre-2011 and you get about, what, 3,800 on the panel, and then how much would it cost to install a panel for you? It wouldn't be a huge outlay then, but would it be $6,000 to $8,000, is it?
For PV,
yeah.
And no, it wouldn't even be that. With PV is you can spend as little or as much as you want, but when it comes to a retrofit scenario and you get grants of $1,400.
Oh, it's $1,400.
On a 2 kilowatt system. So you get 700 euros per kilowatt for the first two. And then if you've been a third and fourth kilowatt, you've got to put in a battery. So the max grant available is 3,800 euros. But for me, with the grants, it doesn't make sense for people to install less than 2 kilowatts, which is, say, 3,600 euros after a grant. Because that can give you up to 400 euros back. So that's about a 9-year payback. And then the more and more you put in, the better the return on investment gets. So, but on a self-build, unfortunately, you don't get the grant, so it's still a long old payback with it. But look, it's the one opportunity for someone who's building a house to actually put in technologies that are going to actually save them money. You know, when people go to the renewable energy technologies, they go, well, what's my return on investment? But what's the return on investment on your windows? What's the return on investment on your car you just bought? You know, so it's taking everything in context here. And of course, doing our bit for the environment. You know, it's saving the planet.
Yeah, we're great. All right, I think that's it. Thanks very
Perfect.
Much.
Perfect. You're very welcome.
Cheers.
Thank you.
That's it for this Self Build Plus podcast episode. Tune in next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And make sure to explore everything Self-Build Plus has to offer. The Self-Build Plus journey guides you through the process of building and home improving. The Self-Build Plus forum allows you to share and learn from other self-builders, while the Self-Build Plus videos and our Self-Build Plus virtual events are packed with information and advice. With Self-Build, stop dreaming, start building.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.